Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and in this segment, we are going to be talking about the eclipse and more or less auspicious activities to participate in during eclipse season. I think this is always a really nice thing to review because we do experience multiple eclipses throughout the year. So we're going to spend some time talking about activities. We're going to spend some time talking about the energetics of an eclipse as well as energetics of practices. This is actually something that's very important in my own life. And so it's a fun reminder that I can talk about these things on this podcast and that hopefully someone out there finds it helpful. Maybe it's new information, or perhaps it's a good reminder for someone who already kind of has these tools under their tool belt. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that here on Astrology Now, we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which is in fact different than the Western tropical system. If you would like to learn more about the differences between the Western and Vedic system, go to my website, innerknowing.yoga, click on Media and then Astrology Now, and you'll find a podcast embedded there. And I also have a free chart calculator if you're wanting to calculate your Vedic sidereal birth chart to see where the planets were placed astronomically at the moment of your birth. So today, kind of diving into eclipse energy. This has been absolutely a wild period. On the previous podcast, I had mentioned to you all that I love hearing what's going on for you. To leave a comment on Spotify, let me know. And so before we get too far into anything, I just want to read some of those comments. So remember that eclipses can do a few things. They can bring life-altering events. Depending on our birth chart, depending on planetary placements that are getting hit directly with an eclipse, it can absolutely bring about a life-altering moment or a life-altering event. It could be a job opportunity. It could be the loss of a job. It could be meeting a significant person. It could be having something come up in your life in a significant way that kind of changes the trajectory. The eclipses can also illuminate certain things. Eclipses can bring things to light. So they can bring about psychological patterns, subconscious patterns, patterns in our behavior. Can also bring about information. Sometimes around eclipses, people learn things that they didn't know before that can change their life. They can learn things about a significant other that leads to a divorce. There could be a proposal that leads to a marriage. There could be, again, like some sort of information in some way that they didn't know before, that they learned during the eclipse, and that changes their path moving forward. So it can be something tangible in terms of like a job or a person or an opportunity or whatever, but it could also be something that is a little bit less tangible. And so it's really important to keep that in mind as we are moving into eclipses, because what is coming up for us can be a breadcrumb into something very serious that we are intending to heal and mend. And so as we're moving into this eclipse, just remember that if a fear comes up, if a pattern comes up, if you get triggered in some way, really pay attention, because something could be coming to light where if it's addressed, it can completely change your path moving forward in a very powerful way. So keep that in mind. Let's go ahead and read some of these comments. Lucy says, I have Rahu and K2 in my 8th and 2nd house, Virgo rising. I have no idea what the heck is going on. So if you are a Virgo, that means that you are having K2 in the 8th house. So what your K2 would be in Aries. So you're having a Rahu K2 opposition. That's a pretty big transit that can totally shake up life. Rowan Rue says, Leo sun, Scorpio moon, just got let go of my job for speaking my mind about communication problems over text. Feeling okay, because when one door closes, another door will open. Now I can focus more on my studies. So having a Scorpio moon right now, that Rahu K2, right now the eclipses are hitting the 6th and the 12th. Right? The 12th can be some sort of loss. It can be something from the subconscious. And the 6th is absolutely our day-to-day work. It can be people that we work with and having confrontations, having enemies. So having miscommunications, having issues at work makes a lot of sense, but I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of when one door closes, another one opens. This is what eclipse season is about. It closes doors, it opens doors, the path shifts. Let's see. Haney, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. Haney, Amber, Brittany, today, Monday the 23rd, was so much chaos at work. Ashley, Ann, so I'm a Cancer, Ascendant, and Virgo moon. I have so much to share, but not enough space. Recognition and big raise at work for a Capricorn moon. That's exciting. Closing out circles of healing from family trauma, taking care of my physical health. Let's see. Unexpected events, current nodal return in Aries and Libra, moon in Pisces, mini Cancer, Capricorn, feeling strange and uncharted. New career. Oh, here's one that is super easy to read. Serena says new career starting November 6th, and she's a Cancer moon. So for Cancer Ascendant, for Cancer moon right now with the eclipses, big things are happening for the home, for the career, and it sounds like our friend here is starting a new career. So that's really exciting. Congratulations, Serena. And for everyone else who took time, thank you so much for sharing. Again, I read every single comment that y'all leave on Spotify. I love hearing what's going on for you all. And I think that really the biggest takeaway is intense things are happening for us, right? And there really are these big transformative shifts that are happening for so many of us. So talking about the eclipse, we talked a little bit about the energetics of it already. And just a reminder that this eclipse that we are having on Saturday is a lunar eclipse. And the lunar eclipse has a specific influence on the mind. When we think about the eclipses, they always involve the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu, which is why karmic events usually happen, especially, again, if they're hitting the degree points of a planet. And the eclipses also always involve the moon and the sun. And so the moon and the sun are actually luminaries. And I always think of them as luminaries of consciousness. The sun and the moon have a direct influence on our conscious awareness, which is also why during eclipses, we should be mindful of these psychological patterns, habits, you know, different ways of thinking. And so the other thing about eclipses is that they can absolutely bring about impulsivity, the desire to make big and sudden changes, and they can also bring about irrational fears. Rahu particularly can bring about irrational fears, and this lunar eclipse is with the planet Rahu. And so I would encourage everyone to be mindful of some of those irrational thoughts, thoughts of paranoia, being a little delusional in nature, maybe not seeing things completely clearly. It's absolutely something that can happen, especially if you're running a moon Rahu period, Rahu moon period, sun Rahu, Rahu sun. Anything with Rahu, anything with the moon or sun, or really anything with Ketu also. But because this lunar eclipse specifically is with Rahu, I think that Rahu energy will amplify things. And remember that this eclipse is taking place in the nakshatra of Ashwini. And so if you do have planets in the nakshatra of Ashwini, in Aries, and you're running a moon period or a Rahu period or a sun period, this may be a very intense time and there can be some pretty big changes that are occurring. But what I really want to say about the impulsivity and the desire to make big decisions and the irrational fears is that it's really best during an eclipse to use this as an opportunity to sit with an experience without necessarily acting on it. So, and this is really a good practice for the majority of the time in terms of acting from a place of fear, right? During an eclipse, we're much more likely to have anxiety, fears, phobias come up. It's very important to try not to allow those fears or phobias to drive our action. And I think in anything in life, you know, I bring this up to myself and I bring this up to my friends or my partner. Whenever I see it, I'm very cognizant when people are making choices from a place of fear. I do it too. Right? But it's, all of us are prone to it. But I think that it's a very disempowering thing when we make big choices or decisions when we are scared. Usually those types of actions don't yield the best results. Usually when we act from a place of stability, of being calm, of being collected, of making a decision from a true desire of the heart, that those are usually the actions that yield the best results, not out of fear, not out of impulsivity, not out of lack mindset, not out of scarcity. When we're stable and secure in ourselves, and then we move forward with a decision. So just kind of keep that in mind, because fears and phobias and anxieties could be the force behind some decision-making or even some thoughts or conversations or arguments. So again, you know, with friends or family or significant others, try not to allow there to be fights or arguments or conversations that are coming from a place of fear, because it can have an impact that we're not necessarily preferring, okay? So just try to keep that in mind. And the other thing is that eclipses really aren't the big time for big choices. And this eclipse is great because it's in the nakshatra of Ashwini, and it's a great time to begin something new and to start new things. But really, on the eclipse itself, it's not the best time to like begin an event on the actual eclipse. But I will say, though traditionally it's not advised to begin an activity on an eclipse, throughout my time as an astrologer, I've seen that the eclipses will often force us into action. So usually around an eclipse, there could be big opportunities, there could be choices that need to be made, there can be people that are being met, and there's nothing you can do about it. So again, traditionally, from a Vedic perspective, we should not be beginning new activities or making any big life decisions, but it's also important not to be too superstitious. And it's also important to remember that some action needs to be taken sometimes, or some choices need to be made. The eclipse can absolutely force us into those corners, and we can't be afraid. We can't get overly superstitious. We can't, you know, freak out about it. It's very important to keep that in mind as we are moving into the eclipse season. And, you know, also, I had a friend recently who was talking about the eclipse, and they're like, man, I'm so worried about this eclipse. I've been having relationship stuff. I'm worried that the relationship will be over for good. It's like, look, I've seen both. I've seen eclipses happen where relationships end. I've seen eclipses happen where relationships begin, long-term relationships begin, you know, on eclipses. Y'all, literally, I have broken up with someone on an eclipse while it was influencing my seventh house, and it didn't last. Like, the breakup didn't last. We ended up continuing dating for a couple of months. So it's like, I've seen both where, like, yes, the eclipse can sever things, it can bring things together. But, you know, if I was being superstitious about it, I'd be like, okay, I broke up with them. We're never going to see each other again. This is it. This is the portal. No more of that, right? And sure enough, a couple of weeks later, reaches out. We continue dating for a couple of months. It did not mark the end. So I'm sharing that because, yes, there is merit in that eclipses can close, as we've been seeing, right? Eclipses can close doors, they can open doors, but we can't get too superstitious. And there's still a lot of free will at hand in all of reality, in all of living reality. So that's important to keep in mind. I hope that was helpful to somebody out there. Let's see what else. We talked about the illumination of subconscious patterns, what comes up wants to heal. There could be feelings of potential worthiness or being unlovable, being unwanted, you know, not. There could be feelings coming up involving the sense of self, because the sun is debilitated and the sun is all about your confidence and your gravitas and your sense of worth. And so when the sun is debilitated and being as afflicted as it is, there can absolutely be some vacillations here. So just kind of monitor it, keep it in mind, don't act on it, don't create fights or arguments or conversations around these types of feelings. Kind of wait it out until the eclipse passes. If you're thinking about reaching out to an ex, if you're thinking about going back in time, right, if there's something from the past that's like beckoning you in some way, I would wait until the eclipse passes. Again, it's possible that some things are inevitable. You're thinking about the person and they end up reaching out to you, or you're thinking about this thing from the past and it ends up coming up spontaneously. That can totally happen. But within our own control, I would recommend waiting until the eclipse passes. So those were some of the talking points that I really wanted to get to. But now talking about the auspicious activity. So again, the inauspicious activities would be acting from the place of fear, allowing fear or anxiety or phobias to drive our behavior, being too superstitious, allowing fear to govern our life. And also, I think that astrology, it's important to navigate astrology with the esoteric mind, but also a very grounded mind. Astrology works because it's geocentric, meaning it's how we perceive the astrology from here on Earth. It's how we can see the planet. So it's very much based on perception. So how we perceive, how we interpret is going to have a massive impact on our reality. This is a very important thing to remember. And sometimes, you know, this has happened to me and I've seen it happen to other people as well, where we get so swept up into different meaning and symbolism that we kind of lose touch with the grounded, rational, pragmatic thinking. And so I think it's a very worthy practice to stay connected to the pragmatic thinking. Again, I had a friend today. This is story time. This is story time podcast. I had a friend where the eclipses are taking place between their first and seventh. It was kind of influencing relationships for their partner as well. And they were like, man, I'm really worried that we're going to have a breakup. And it's like, that is so reasonable. Like, I think it's so reasonable to see an eclipse coming for your seventh house and be like, man, I don't want to argue with my partner. I don't want to have a fight. Like, totally, totally makes sense. And their relationship is going great. They adore each other. There is no sign in sight that there would be some sort of breakup. It's sure, the eclipse could come, maybe one of them gets spicy, maybe there's a little bit of an argument. It takes a lot of specific alignment for something like that to happen in astrology, and usually we can see the signs anyway. Sometimes things come out of left field, sometimes it happens. I'm sharing this story, though, because we can't look at the astrology and then allow ourselves to be filled with fear that we have no evidence to back it up. You know what I mean? We need to come back to the present moment and stay rooted and grounded in what is occurring now. Are relationships going well? Are we feeling okay? Are things with work all right? Just kind of grounding ourselves in the present and not getting too swept away with what could happen or what could be. Astrology is very complicated. And so, again, just because we're having an eclipse in a certain house doesn't necessarily mean that anything horrific is going to happen. It takes specific alignments of a degree point in our chart, and it also includes a dasha, right? And that will create an event. I hope this is helpful. I feel like I'm going off on tangents I didn't necessarily plan on having. So talking about the lunar eclipse and auspicious activities for the lunar eclipse. So from a Vedic perspective, during eclipses, first of all, it's not advised to look at the eclipse. So when we're all outside looking at the eclipses from a Vedic perspective, that's like the biggest no-go. Ideally, you won't even let, like during a solar eclipse, you wouldn't let the sun touch your skin. You would stay inside all day and you would meditate and you would have like the observation of spiritual practice. So it's never encouraged to observe the eclipse with your eyes. So that's the first rule from the Vedic perspective. The second is during an eclipse, it's definitely advised to participate in meditation. And I invite you all, you know, if you're wanting to have like a traditional eclipse day, I'd recommend trying to meditate maybe 3 times throughout the day, maybe starting in the morning, doing a meditation in the afternoon, doing a meditation in the evening, maybe even if it's just for 60 seconds, you know, a minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, making time throughout the day to meditate and see how things shift and change. It could be silent meditation, but you could also choose to chant mantra. And so mantra from the Vedic perspective, first of all, from a Vedic perspective, it really does acknowledge that vibrational frequency is profoundly powerful. And essentially, when we are chanting mantra, we are creating a syllable. We are creating a vibration with our voice, with our mouth, with our tongue. This is part of the reason as to why chanting mantra correctly is so important, because it creates a very specific vibrational frequency. When we chant mantra, we are sending that frequency into the ether, and it has an impact on the space around us. So if we are being influenced from the energy of the planets, we begin chanting a specific mantra, it could even have the power to kind of knock off the negative vibrational frequency of a planet. So this is why if we have an afflicted planet, if we have an afflicted Saturn, if we have an afflicted Venus, whatever it may be, an astrologer will give a mantra for that planet. It's said that the vibrational frequency of that mantra will have a mitigating impact on the vibration coming, you know, coming from that planet towards us. So it's pretty far out. It's pretty spectacular. And so I had mentioned doing a yagya on my Patreon account. I'll actually be participating in a yagya on the eclipse. When you have a yagya done for you, Hindu priests will perform a sacred ceremony and chant specific mantra that has a profound effect on the energetic sphere around you. So pretty profound technology that they were tapping into such a long time ago. That being said, it's an amazing day to chant mantra, and it is said that mantra chanted during an eclipse is 1,000 times more powerful. So if you have a mantra that you work with and you choose to perform it on the eclipse, it can have an impact that is 1,000 times more powerful than usual. You all know who's going to be chanting mantra on the eclipse, right? And it's like during a yagya, it's like lots of people are chanting, right? So again, if you are wanting to have kind of a special eclipse day, you may choose to meditate 3 to 5 times, maybe choose a mantra for a planet in your birth chart that you are wanting to support. It could also be a mantra to a god or goddess that you feel a special connection or resonance with. It's also supported to fast on eclipses. Fasting can have a different effect on everyone. I know that some people have an easier or less easy time fasting. I'm fortunate to have the constitution where fasting is usually okay. Most of my loved ones are opposite. Most of my loved ones have a really hard time not eating. Totally understandable. But if fasting is very difficult and you're still wanting to kind of incorporate that element into your eclipse day, you can choose a diet that is vegan or vegetarian. And so it could be that you only eat fruit, you only eat nuts, maybe you eat like dairy products are also like, again, the way that I was taught traditionally is like, if you're attempting to fast and fasting is a little bit too challenging, you can take food that is vegetarian in nature. And then like, again, like dairy, like yogurt, some milk, fruits, but you would want to veer away from vegetables. You would want to veer away from legumes and things of that nature. So those are some ideas as well. And if that sounds too extreme, then maybe just keeping a vegetarian diet if that's something that you're not used to doing. And it's said that that type of diet has like a purifying effect on the body, and it's also easier to digest. And so digesting during an eclipse is also something that you want to keep an eye on. That's, you know, part of the reason why fasting is encouraged. And there was something else that I wanted to say. Fasting is, there's a lot of fasting in Vedic philosophy. I personally, well, I don't know. I don't need to go into what my personal beliefs are, but in a lineage that I am profoundly fond of, Vaishnavism, there are a few, I mean, there are many holidays to fast, but then there's also Ekadashi. And so one would fast on Ekadashi. And so you end up fasting, you know, quite a bit throughout the month. And it's fascinating, again, because as we move through time and we're doing more and more research on health and wellness, they're finding, hey, fasting can actually have a significant positive impact on health. And this was something that they've been doing since the dawn of time. I know this is controversial. I'm probably going to get someone saying that fasting isn't healthy for everybody. Totally. Not a nutritionist. I'm just saying from a Vedic perspective, these are some of the practices. So the final things I'll say about a lunar eclipse and special practices for a lunar eclipse is just keeping it low-key, reducing mental stress, reducing stimulus. If you want to take a break from social media, give yourself some time to de-ionize. That's something that my boyfriend always says. He's like, I'm going to de-ionize. He takes his phone away, goes into the woods, comes out a few hours later, de-ionize. So maybe taking some time away from social media, taking some time away from the screen, just really keeping things low key. And so again, if you're wanting to go like full throttle into the eclipse type of ceremony, you could choose to meditate 5 times a day, chant mantra, read sacred scripture, whatever that is for you. It could be the Bible, it could be the Upanishads, it could be the Bhagavad Gita, Quran, you know, whatever you connect with, whatever is your path. You could spend some time fasting in a way that makes sense for you. And again, just keeping things very low key. And the final thing is also observing celibacy. So if you're, again, wanting to go full throttle into the eclipse experience, one would also consider practicing celibacy. And again, from a Vedic perspective, practicing a vegetarian diet or a diet of like nuts and fruits. And so the diet of nuts and fruits is actually kind of interesting. I was having a conversation about this with my teacher recently, is that nuts and fruits are the one food that doesn't take any life, right? Like with a vegetable, even you take the life of the vegetable. Fruit is just an offering, right? Nuts are just, most nuts are just like an offering. And so with nuts and fruit, it does not take any life. And it said that the great yogis used to only eat fruit that was fallen from a tree. So I just wanted to share that because I think it's kind of interesting. So those are some thoughts on the eclipses, some interesting conversations I've been having with friends and loved ones. And again, I just wanted to share the superstitious piece. And it's always so relieving for me also to come into contact with other astrologers who are not superstitious, because I think we can get wrapped up in this like fantastical thinking and fatalistic thinking, and we feel just completely like a victim to the circumstance and a victim to the ether and to the planetary influences. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes there are unexpected events. Sometimes there are things that are beyond our control. The eclipse can absolutely spur events that we are not anticipating. Astrology can spur events that we are not anticipating. And a lot of the time, we have a lot of control and influence over what happens. And most importantly, we have control and influence on how we perceive, how we move through situations. And I think that for this eclipse, especially being in Aries, Aries is very independent. It's very rebellious. It's also very pioneering, but then it's also very aggressive and impulsive, kind of leaning out of the less savory qualities of Aries. The selfishness, the impulsivity, the combativeness, kind of steering away from those, leaning into the positive qualities of Aries, the courageousness, the bravery, the self-invention, right? Aries is all about self-creation. This is the opportunity to really create what we want in life, rather it be tangible or intangible, if it's a quality that we want to possess in ourselves. So try to keep that in mind. Just a little update on current events. Remember that this lunar eclipse is huge for world leaders. This is a really big time. And we were talking about a few podcasts back, we were talking about how all this emphasis on Libra could cause like protests. And people are going to be upset, you know, fighting for what's right and what they believe to be fair. And I think that it is interesting because we're seeing protests around the world on behalf of Palestine. And that's what Libra does, right? It calls for equanimity. It calls for what is right and what is fair. And people from all over the world are rallying for what they believe to be fair. And, you know, I think that's something that we will continue to see, but there is a lot of pressure in the sign of Libra right now. And there's a lot of energy that would suggest, of course, conflict and combat and aggression. There was a talk recently with the Prince of Saudi Arabia and Joe Biden, which I thought was interesting around this eclipse, because it is kind of putting an emphasis on the desire for peace, or at least creating more resources for the catastrophe. And I think that as we move closer to the eclipse, we may see some of that as well. But my biggest primary focus is the sun being debilitated. It is not every year that the eclipse happens while the sun is debilitated. It's not every year that the eclipse happens while the sun is debilitated with Mars. This is going to put a lot of strain and pressure on world leaders, and I am concerned that this could potentially be dangerous. So this is definitely something to be watching out for. And again, with this emphasis on Aries, it can be impulsive, it can be combative, it can be combustible. So we're seeing this, both of the energies in terms of the combustibility and the aggressive behavior, but then also the calls for peace and the focus on people really wanting diplomacy and people really, you know, caring enough to protest this. So this is something that we will continue to see. I personally don't think it's something that is going to end anytime soon. But I just wanted to give everybody the reminder of that, because we need to be watching world leaders and even leaders in our own personal lives, you know, bosses and CEOs, influencers, not influencers like social media, influencers like leaders of the world. They could be feeling pressure. There can be challenges. Even in our own organizations at work, there could be issues with authority. And so it's just a time to tread mindfully and not add any fuel to fire, not act impulsively. So I do hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, you are welcome to email me at astrologynowpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to book a reading, you can go to innerknowing.yoga. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast, and I do weekly horoscopes at patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. Again, my name is Christina Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.